Please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As you're turning, I want to just remind us why we chose the book of Acts. And we've mentioned four things in the past about why we chose this, and I just want to keep bringing those to mind because I think today's passage will once again serve us along these lines. Number one, it's to bring us back to the basics of God's program. Back to the basics. Distractions come from all over the place. Sometimes they're circumstances, sometimes they're our own sin struggles, but we get distracted and we need to constantly come back to the very basic things that God desires of us. I think the book of Acts is serving us along those lines. Number two, to help us refocus of what it looks like to live life on mission. We want to make sure that we are understanding the responsibility that every believer in this day and age has, just as the disciples had the responsibility some 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." And it is our responsibility to be the same witness in the context in which we live. And we must continually remember this is what God asks of us. We must be sharing the gospel. We also want to be reminded of God's enabling power, that God is still working. He's still working to regenerate hearts, to save souls. He's still working to conform people to the image of Christ. We should not doubt in any way the power of God, because the power that we're going to see here this morning in the text when the Holy Spirit came is the same power that is available today and God is using to accomplish his purposes. And then number four, to provide confidence in the truth. Confidence in the truth. Jesus took over 40 days to encourage, to strengthen his followers. And the text tells us to really show them convincing truths. Jesus shepherded his people in that season of time in the way of bringing confidence into what is real about their faith and the truth that God was revealing during those days. And so it is important for us to continually go back to the Word. And I think the book of Acts will help us to really strengthen us, to build us up, and to really convince us of the truths that are laid out in Scripture. And so we have in Acts the story of the Holy Spirit coming. Now I want to start really with just helping us understand what Jesus promised, okay? So he promised that the Holy Spirit would come. And we see that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. Look with me there. "Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And that was the Spirit." Look at verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would come as promised. Now, a couple passages you may be familiar with. I just want to make sure that we understand we're anchoring everything in the truth. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he said in reference to the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So in the ministry of Jesus, when he's communicating truth to his disciples, again, in another place of Scripture, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come. But he wouldn't come. He had not come yet, but he would come when Jesus was glorified. So as we look through the book of Acts, we see the progression taking place along these lines. It was the plan of God for the Spirit to come after Jesus died. He rose. He ascended on high. As well, John chapter 14 and verse 17. "The Helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So let me just see a distinction here in these two phrases. He remains with you, which tells us in other passages of Scripture, the presence of the Holy Spirit has always been a part of God's people throughout history. Not in the way that we're going to see today, because there's a clear distinction in how the Holy Spirit's presence will come at the day of Pentecost. But this text says that he remains with you. So God's Spirit was with them before. But look at the next phrase, and will be in you. That's future tense. So the distinction Jesus here is even saying in this passage is that the Holy Spirit will come in a very different way in the days ahead. So we want to just understand this morning one big idea. And I realize some of you are journaling. You bought those journals of Acts and you're trying to follow along. And I so appreciate that. It's hard sometimes to outline. You have narratives, stories, and it's hard to sometimes get an outline. And I'm not really good at alliterations and, you know, just picture perfect outlines. If you've been under my ministry of preaching for long enough, you understand that. So but for those of you who are journaling today, this is the big idea. All right. There is an undeniable creation of the Christian church here in this moment in Acts chapter 2. And this is what they have been waiting for. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2 and find out the story. Okay? Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, I'm going to stop right there and we'll continue on here in just a few moments in the rest of the text. But it says there in chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come. Now, I want to make sure we understand all of Scripture, and I try to make sure that those who are just coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're new in the faith and you're trying to understand the Scripture, and that's, you know, one part of the spectrum that we have represented in our group. And then we have those who have known the Lord for a very long time. And so if you're wise in your preaching, you should try to accommodate everyone and try to make sure that the Scripture is clear so everyone understands it. So I just want to make sure that we understand this is not the first Pentecost. All right. This is not the first day of Pentecost. Pentecost had been celebrated for hundreds of years in the nation of Israel. The idea of Pentecost simply means just 50. It's the 50th day after Passover. You'll find that in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. I heard this week a couple people mentioned they're in their Bible reading program and you've been in a little bit Leviticus and it's been a little difficult. Hang in there. All right. Stay in the Word. Keep reading. But in Leviticus, you will find a lot mentioned about the law and things like the feast. There were seven feasts mentioned there in Leviticus 23. And Pentecost was a festival that was celebrated when they would start to gather the harvest. And it was one of the three feasts that the Jews saw as an opportunity to come to Jerusalem. So the Jews that were spread out would come three times a year if they were able to celebrate in Jerusalem. And the Pentecost was one of those days. And it's on this day when there were many Jews from all over many, many different regions around the world, the text says, that they were here in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And it's on this 50th day that God sent the Holy Spirit as he promised. So there is an undeniable fact in Scripture. Remember, why are we studying this? To really strengthen our faith in the truth, to convince us of the truth. So I use the term here very deliberately. This is an undeniable truth. This is an undeniable event that happened in God's timetable. God's timetable is always perfect. But just like the incarnation, we believe that wholeheartedly. We believe the death and resurrection of Christ wholeheartedly. The ascension, as we focus on it recently, we believe wholeheartedly in the day of Pentecost in which God sent his Spirit upon his people. Now, there are three phenomena that happened when this event took place, which makes it undeniable. What's the idea of a phenomenon? It's a remarkable person, thing, or event. Now, some people use the word phenomenon just in where they observe something. I was remembering this week that my parents, when I was in high school, got this great idea. They thought it was a great idea. We did not. My sister and I are in high school. They thought when school got out in the spring, late spring, early summer, they would take a road trip with us. And we would travel from Indiana and we would go to the northern region of the United States, throughout the West, down the West Coast, and then through the South back to our home. And we would do this in this van that we had. And it would basically, they had planned to be away for a month. Now, you may say, oh, that's a great idea. And some of you parents are planning this. Don't do it to your kids when they're in high school. Because you think about it, in high school, school's out, you're ready to have some fun, you want to hang out with your friends, you got a lot going on, sports, and mom and dad say, we're going to get in the van and we're going to spend a month together. That was not a good idea. But my father, he was probably around 60 at the time. Dad, if you're watching, this is for you. It was a great memory at this point in my life. My dad got this video camera for our trip. And I can remember as if it was yesterday, every time we started to hit the mountains, he would start, while he's driving, he would video the whole thing. And, you know, at first, when we're from Indiana, there were not mountains. I don't think he'd even been west before. And so it probably was a huge deal. And it probably was neat for me initially as well. But literally for weeks, he's videoing almost every mile of our trip. At least every time we came in around a new mountain range or something. I mean, we were talking the Grand Canyon, all kinds of things. And I can hear his voice on the recorder. And now we have the next phenomenon. And that word is forever etched in my mind. Sometimes negative connotations, sometimes in the big picture of life, it's actually pretty special to me. But what we see here in this text is very different than what we experience when we do go to the Grand Canyon and we're amazed. It really is something that takes us by surprise. What we see here is really the miraculous, where, like the incarnation, where heaven's intruded into our space and time in physical ways. So when Jesus came, it was announced by the angels, the heavenly hosts. They intruded in a bad way. They came to us. Same thing with the ascension. We have the angels that are there at the time and the clouds that really take Jesus up to the right hand of God. In this moment, we have the heavens coming down again in the form of the Holy Spirit. And when it happens, there are three undeniable things that happen. Number one, it says in the text that there suddenly came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And this noise, it filled the house, it says. And in verse 6, it says, when this sound occurred, the crowd came together. So this was a fact that happened in real time on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, where you had the sound of a wind, not wind itself, but it was the sound of wind filling the place in which the disciples were meeting there. And then around, because it says the crowds heard it and came together. This is a phenomenon where we see that God came again once to us. And it is an amazing event. So when we're talking about our faith in Christ and our faith in God and our faith in the Holy Spirit, three persons of the Godhead, we read these truths, and the same thing that Jesus wanted to accomplish in his disciples' lives should be accomplishing in our lives. We should be more and more convinced. There are a lot of people today that would read a story like this and mock it and laugh at it. And like, that didn't happen. But what's true is that this actually did happen. And this was the Spirit of God coming to His people. We can wholeheartedly say this is undeniable. The presence of God coming in the form of the Spirit in a very specific way. Maybe it was like the sound of a tornado. I don't know. Those of you who have experienced that, you understand. It kind of has a distinct sound. But something happened, this phenomenon, in a miraculous way, that the Holy Spirit came to God's people in a very unique fashion. The second thing, if you go back in the text, it says, "And there appeared to them tongues as a fire, dividing themselves or distributing themselves." And what happened with these tongues of fire? They rested on each one of them. And this was a visible sign. This was a visible sign that something unique was happening. Both of these symbols, the sound of the wind and the fire that came from heaven, these are visible things and audible things that prove this event did take place 50 days after we see our Savior go to the cross. These moments that we read about should strengthen our faith. This is an undeniable event. The third thing that happened, the phenomenon that I mentioned here, is that they were all, verse 4, they were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with tongues, with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterances. Now, let's continue reading verse 5. "Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven." It's a very interesting phrase there. From every nation under heaven, they were present in this moment. "And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear I'm going to have to break down and get glasses over the last few weeks. I keep putting it off. And when I get up here, the words start to go fuzzy on me. So it's happening in my life and I just have to submit to it. So let's go back to verse 7. "They were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of them hear them in their own language to which we were born?' Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Notice the response. "But others were mocking and saying, 'They are full of sweet wine.' But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel." So the third phenomenon that we see happening here in this moment is that the disciples began to speak in other languages. And there's about 15 different language groups that are listed here in this text. And what's taking place is the ability, God-given ability, for the disciples to speak. And they're not just speaking about random things. They're speaking about the mighty works of God. That's what it says. In verse 11, they were speaking of the mighty deeds of God. So the Spirit was giving them ability to communicate the mighty deeds of God in their own language, which is why they responded and say, "Aren't these folks Galileans? How do they know this?" This was a unique moment in God's timetable, the sound of the wind, the visible sign of fire, and the ability to speak in ways to communicate truth in known languages that someone did not know before. Now, when folks come to the point in their life where they believe that God wants to use them on a foreign field and they want to go for the purposes of the gospel, what do they typically do in preparation? They start to learn the language of the people that they're going to be ministering to. Sometimes they do that on the stateside, but sometimes they actually go to the actual place and in context, they live there and they try to absorb and understand the language. So that whole step of language learning, it was something that didn't happen in this moment. But in this moment, God gave, through the Spirit, the ability for these folks to communicate the mighty deeds of God in a truly miraculous way. And it's wonderful to think about every nation under heaven. Jews visiting from every nation under heaven could hear about the mighty acts of God in this moment. What Jesus promised came to be. And it is an undeniable fact that the Holy Spirit, the Helper that Jesus said would come once he was glorified, he did come. He did come in this moment. And there are undeniable facts that prove it along these lines. Now, I thought, as far as just trying to help us understand, there is so much that could be said about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully in time through the book of Acts, some of those things will surface. We've actually offered at church here before a series on the Holy Spirit. Dr. Hankins has a fantastic series, and I've told him before, I wish every person in our church would go through that series, and maybe that'll happen someday. But I want us just to, in kind of a summary form, help us understand what that means for us today as far as the Holy Spirit. The action of the Holy Spirit, what happened in this moment? What are the blessings for believers at this point? And hopefully these will be helpful for you. If you're taking notes, I'll try to go slow enough so you can write them down. But just a way for us to really understand and think biblically about the Holy Spirit from this point on, when the church was established and God delivered on his promise. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It's an action of the Spirit by which every believer is baptized into the body of Christ. And when does this take place? At the moment of salvation. Just so you know, these 3 points came from Stuart Custer's commentary. I thought it was very well organized and helpful, and I wanted to share it with you. But this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This happens at the point of salvation. There's a couple passages that teach us this. Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place because in the Christian world in which we live, you'll hear these terms thrown around. Sometimes it's used in a biblical sense and sometimes it's not. And I want to make sure it's crystal clear that we teach exactly what we believe the Bible speaks to along these lines. So at the point of salvation, a person is baptized by the Holy Spirit. Another passage of Scripture. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So that takes place at the point of salvation where God regenerates our hearts and we are then baptized into the body of Christ and we become part of his church. And so if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when you came to the point in your life where you acknowledged your sin before his holy nature, before himself, you said, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And you realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is a Savior, and you turn from your sins to Jesus Christ. At that point, as the Scripture says, when one calls on the name of the Lord, they are saved. And what happens, and you probably didn't even understand everything that was happening, but at that point, you are baptized by the Spirit. The washing of regeneration is happening through the Spirit's power. And as well, you're then invited to be part of God's family, which is his church. So if you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, you have been baptized by the Spirit. Does that need to happen again? No, it does not. It's a one-time event that happens when you come to know Jesus Christ personally. The second thing, the blessing that would come from this new ministry of the Holy Spirit at this particular point in God's timetable, is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's an action by the Spirit, which the Spirit constantly abides in the heart of every believer. So we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. His presence is with us if we are His children. A couple passages. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That we are the temple of the Spirit of God. As well, we have in Romans 8:9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So if you belong to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. And as a follower of Christ, as a child of God, you don't have to ever fear that His presence will leave you. If you're a true believer, you are baptized by the Spirit, you're cleaned and washed by Him, and His indwelling presence is with you from that point on. This is a huge blessing. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did fill individuals, and the Scripture gives us a few illustrations of where that happened. And God's presence was there, as it tells us in the passage I read earlier, that His presence remained with you. So God's presence has always been there, but this marked a transition, something specific, something new. And it was instituted by the specific event when the Holy Spirit would come in this way to God's people. So we have the Spirit of God living inside of us today. And that is the gift that Jesus promised His people. And on this side of it, now 2,000 years later, we see God's power by His Spirit in the lives of His people, generation after generation, of those who will call on the name of the Lord, who will trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the third aspect of the blessing that came in this time is the filling of the Spirit. And again, it's an action of the Spirit that empowers believers for service. We'll hopefully get to this at some point this year. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So we see this third aspect of filling of the Holy Spirit comes when we have a special power from God's Spirit to be able to then proclaim the truth. And so we want to be filled with the Spirit. So those are the things, I guess that would be the prayer that we have. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And the Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians tells us to walk in the Spirit. So we've been baptized by the Spirit at salvation through the regeneration process and the cleansing power of God. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes to every person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But we see that there are times in the Christian's life that as we progress in our sanctification, that we grow more and more with the Holy Spirit really controlling us. And maybe that's the most simple way to put this, that we don't need to pray that we would have more of the Spirit, as far as like there's not enough of Him here. A lot of people would probably teach that. And no, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. It's our prayer that we let the Holy Spirit control us more and more as we progress through this life. And so the Scripture gives us this little illustration. You can either be controlled by a substance, or you can let the Holy Spirit control you. And if you're abusing a substance, then you're not in control of the Spirit. But what we should be is more and more desiring to walk in the Spirit, as Galatians says, so that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, so that our flesh doesn't come back as far as control in our lives, but we are letting the Holy Spirit who indwells in us control us more and more in every way. That's just why there's this wrestling match. You have spirit and flesh. The Spirit dwells inside of us. And the remnants of our old man, the flesh, is still there. And so there's this battle that Paul talks about. And so the more we allow the Holy Spirit to control us, the more we look like Jesus. When we don't let the Holy Spirit control us, we look more like the flesh. And so our desire as Christians in this day and age, giving thanks for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and his indwelling Spirit inside of us, is that we want to strive more and more to let the Holy Spirit control us. And this is the change that took place in this moment. The undeniable event where the Christian church, as we know it, now it looks very different today than it did 2,000 years ago, but back to the basics. When God said, "I will bring something new," and when he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to wait and that the Holy Spirit would come. And the Holy Spirit did come. We see it in these three undeniable phenomena. We see the sound of the wind. We see it in the fire, the tongues of fire that came in a visible way, both symbolizing the power and presence of the divine had entered this realm. And we see it in this gifts, the gift of the tongues, in which we have specifically outlined here. Now, 1 Corinthians talks about the gift of tongues, and that would be different than what we have in this text. So let's make sure that's clear as well. This is a very specific event where the disciples at this point were given the ability to speak in other known languages so that the mighty works of God were told to all the Jews and the nations represented on earth. And in these three phenomena, we see the promise of God delivered, the Holy Spirit. And from this point on, we see the church is established, and we'll get in that in the next couple weeks. And we also see the blessings of the Spirit in the individual child of God today, where we have the privilege of acknowledging our sin and trusting our Savior. And when that happens, we are baptized by the Spirit of God. And that same Spirit then comes to live inside of our lives. And so that we understand we are free from our sin. The chains of sin have been broken. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We are the temple of God. And so we can live for him in the way that pleases him. But we do that by denying the flesh and letting the presence of the Holy Spirit that is there in our hearts control us more and more. And so we do want the Holy Spirit's presence more and more, but we're not asking for more portions of him. He's here. He's inside of us. What we're asking for is our yieldedness to grow so that we will strive to walk in him and follow him so that we can honor Jesus Christ with our lives. That's the goal. And so in this moment, it was a very significant change in the whole timeline of God. And Acts is a transition book to help us just walk through this. But what I don't want us to miss is the fact that these are actual real events that happened. These three phenomena happened. They were miraculous. And the ones who experienced it, they knew the Spirit of God had come. And Peter stands up and he starts preaching with boldness now. And he says, "No, they're not drunk. You think this is crazy?" Because it says there in the text that some mocked. There were others who were watching this and they mocked and they thought this was craziness. But if you're not a child of God, you don't understand the things of God. But those who were his children understood at this point that the Holy Spirit had now come. Jesus said, go and wait. And they did. And Jesus delivered on his promise. And so for us, 2,000 years later, we look back one more moment. Yes, I am convinced of the truth of Scripture. This faith that I put my whole faith and my heart's trust into this Messiah, it is real. Every part of it. And everything in the truth that was told, that is explained to us, it is real, and we can go to the bank on it. And so we rejoice today in the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And we pray to the Spirit, we sing to the Spirit, we want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And it's in this act that we see what we experience today, the Christian church. This is where it all started. Imagine being there in the moment when God established his church. This is a glorious event. The Holy Spirit came and the mission began. The Holy Spirit birthed the church, and this act of God is what we now experience today as the church. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. And he has ever since this point. And he will continue until he returns. And so we rejoice, as hard as it is for our Christian brother and sisters in the Ukraine today. We understand a bigger purpose. And there are bigger things happening, that God is going to use these hardships and trials, as he always does, to glorify himself, lift his name high. And as his people are controlled by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit, they will stand with boldness. So let's pray along those lines. God, fill these believers with your Spirit, so that they will stand strong in the face of adversity. So they will be able to proclaim the mighty deeds of God. And my friend, if you're praying that, and you're willing to pray that for those who are in Ukraine today, you know what you should be praying for yourself? The very same thing. We don't have the resistance in this moment that they're experiencing, the fear, the circumstances, but you have the same mission. We all do. You are my witnesses. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I asked you to come up with one person in your realm of relationships that you could start praying for, speaking truth to, develop a relationship. And my very personal question to you individually, have you done anything with that? In 1 month's time, are you living any more on mission than you were 4 weeks ago? You know from this text right here, you have the Holy Spirit just like they did. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when he is controlling us, we will have boldness to speak. So we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to worry about saying the exact same thing. It's not about us to do the work. God does the work in a heart, but it's up to us to be faithful, to witness, to testify of the mighty deeds of God. Are we doing it? Because we can pray fervently for those in Ukraine to do it today. But we better have that same fervent prayer for our own hearts. Because there are just as many people around us in this moment that need the gospel as there is in the Ukraine today. And they sit in the cubicle next to you, or stand at your workplace, or whatever it is, in your family, in your neighborhood. We are God's witnesses. Are we being faithful? Are we taking advantage of the blessings of the Holy Spirit? That we have been washed, we have been cleansed. And we have the Holy Spirit's presence living inside of us. And if we will yield control to the Holy Spirit and strive to walk in Him, what He does for us is give us strength and boldness. And that's what we want, an empowered church. We've got it everywhere this year. An empowered church, believing that the power of God still works in 2022, just like it was working in this day in which we read this morning. I was encouraged even this week by a situation in our own church. My wife has been working more specific with the situation, and she came home and she was just praising God because she clearly saw the power of God working in the life of an individual to turn. In real time, the power of God in 2022 changing hearts. And what it did for her faith this week, not only did it bring her to tears, but it was one more step of confidence. God is at work. His power and His presence is here with us. Let us be faithful to let the Word settle into our hearts and bring us once again to a place where we yield control to the Spirit and enjoy the boldness that comes when we do so. Would you bow with me as we pray and close this morning? I mentioned earlier in the series, sometimes we fully don't understand the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit enough. But the Scripture is very clear that in this moment that we see here in Acts chapter 2, all the way until Jesus comes back, the Spirit of God is accomplishing through us the mission of God. And so as God's people, it is so crucial and important that we strive to let the Spirit control us and walk in the Spirit. His presence is here. Would you just give thanks? If you're a child of God this morning, would you give thanks for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that happened when you came to know Jesus? Would you give thanks that in that moment the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of you? And the promise is that He won't leave you. And would you give thanks for the strength and boldness that comes when we deny ourselves and we are filled and controlled with the Spirit of God to be able to live for Him and as well tell about Him? Give thanks for the blessings of the Spirit. And then if it's appropriate and right, once again, yield control. Deny the flesh. Submit to the Spirit. And seek to honor God with your life. If you don't know Jesus, today can be the day of salvation. The Holy Spirit in this moment can change your heart. So would you call on the name of the Lord? And if you do so, you will be saved, the Scripture says. And the Holy Spirit that I've spoken about throughout these moments, the Holy Spirit will come and live inside of you and start the process of changing you to be like Jesus Christ. Call on Him now, and you will be saved. God the Father, thank You for revealing Yourself in Your Word. Thank You for giving us just the right amount of information that You want us to have about Your glorious plan. thank you that we live in 2022 and we can look back in your history with man and we can see your creation. We can see you establishing your ways and the way that you interact at every point. And we can see clearly that you delivered on your promise that a Messiah would come. And Jesus, you came. And you obeyed the Father at every point, and you accomplished what we could not accomplish by going to the cross and paying the payment for our sin. And you conquered death, and you rose again, and you ascended on high, and you were glorified. And then it was the time for the Spirit, and Spirit, you came. And you are changing people to be in the image of Christ. You are saving souls. You are sanctifying us. Spirit, thank you that you live with us, you indwell us, and help us to believe so much in your presence that we want your control, that we yield and we say no to our flesh, and we strive to walk and obey you, Spirit. God, our triune God, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Strengthen our faith, bring confidence in the truth. Remind us of the basics of your glorious plan and help us to live life on mission, believing that your power can work in 2022 for your glory in each one of us. And God, may we not doubt. May we not give in to fear, but help us to trust wholly in your Spirit's power. In your holy and precious name, I pray.